Chapter 12. In Pursuit of Vengeance. The Black Templar's cruiser, Obsidian Sky, shook as it came out of the warp, real space engine stacks already burning bright. 500 meters of burnished black metal trailing the dying energies of the Empyrean, it accelerated before the rift had closed, waiting on no nicety of post-transit protocols.
"Translation complete, Dreadnought Marshal. We have arrived in the Clostra system," called out Shipmaster Ericus.
The vision slit of Magnaric's dreadnought blazed, and it stood tall, pushed upright by actuators and hydraulics. Magnaric was awake in an instant. The Dreadnought Marshal stumped around, the shoulders of the machine that housed his ruined body swaying. Relics of his earlier life rattled on the walker's armor.
"All hands to combat stations! Initiate full Auspex scan! Open hails and send out our challenge! We shall not hide from them! Call out their doom!"
His voice boomed from his vox speakers, brash as a Titan's warhorn.
"My lord, I am receiving a large amount of transmissions," began the ship's master divulgatus from the craft's long vox decks.
"Excellent!" roared Magnaric.
His power fist rotated in anticipation of the coming fight.
"All brothers, prepare for battle! Master Egredorum, prepare our transports! Track the source of the enemy's transmissions! We engage immediately!"
"But my lord," protested the master divulgatus, "the transmissions are not those of the traitors. They are all orc. I have multiple enemy contacts, 500,000-kilometer range and closing," spoke the master augurum at the Auspex array. "Again, all orc energy signatures."
Castellan Ralston stepped forward to stand at the elbow of Magnaric.
500,000 kilometers.
"It is an extreme range, my lord, but there are large numbers of them."
"Marshal Magnaric," said the Castellan.
Magnaric let out a frustrated growl.
"How many times must our quarry slip through our fingers? Orcs? I was informed that the Clostra system was the base of Calcator's great company. Who shall atone for this failure in intelligence?"
"My lord, if I may," said the Master Augurum. "The Auspex array is picking up residual vox echo here, reflected from the system's radiation belts. There was a traitor presence on the planet until only a few days ago. No civilian messaging. All of it is 4th Legion battle cant."
"Then it is over," said Ralston regretfully. "The orcs have done our duty for us. To our next crusade, brothers."
"No!"
bellowed Magnaric, his torso spinning dangerously fast. The huge block of his sarcophagus leaned over, bringing the machine's glass eye level with the face of his second in command.
"It cannot be so. The Emperor has marked out Calcator to die by my fist and my fist alone. I feel it. We departed Ostrom hot on the heels of Calcator's dogs. If there is no longer sign of battle here, then they must have departed. Send for honored navigator Pholax. I will speak with him as to their likely destination. In the meantime, have more power diverted to the Auspex arrays. If by some small chance the Greenskins have cheated us of our vengeance, I will be sure of it before moving on."
"And the Greenskins themselves, Magnaric?"
"You would have us fear a few thousand orcs?"
Magnaric boomed.
"A few 100,000, my lord," corrected Ralston.
He held out his hand towards the massive doors leading to Magnaric's inner sanctum. "Perhaps we might continue this discussion on strategy in private."
"Very well,"
grumbled Magnaric. The command deck shook to the tread of his armored feet. They went within Magnaric's chamber. The doors hissed shut. And immediately they were isolated from the command deck, Magnaric rounded on Ralston.
"You challenge my judgment? I, Magnaric, hero of the heresy, I who remain in command despite my entombing, who kept my own name when interred, when all others gave up theirs?"
"Marshal," said Ralston calmly, "it is my role to challenge you, as you well know."
"Nothing worthwhile is done without challenge. Best to overcome it before plans are enacted,"
quoted Magnaric.
"So said Sigismund," said Ralston.
I do not quote our founder in support of your case, but against it, said Magnaric. Our plan was agreed. Your opportunity to object has passed.
Perhaps, but lately you've taken against my naysaying whenever performed. Ralston paced the empty expanse of the chamber. It had been stripped of everything, right back to the metal of the understructure, to accommodate the huge sepulchre the Dreadnought occupied when resting. Magnaric refused to go to the forge tombs, wishing to remain close to the centre of command at all times. I must again protest against your decision not to heed the High Marshal's order to return. The last wall has been invoked, and we should lend our strength to it, not spend our time harrying these traitors. There are greater issues at stake.
Our way is not that of the wall. Sigismund's oath is paramount. We are crusaders, not wall troops.
This is different, my lord.
It is not. We have the Iron Warriors at bay. We cannot allow them to dig themselves in, or we shall never pry them from their hiding place. We have to strike now. When they are finished, we shall embark upon this new crusade.
Magnaric, your feelings are blinding you, pleaded Ralston. Vengeance is noble when enacted for the good of the Emperor. You seek vengeance for your own sake. You should rest. Freighter Astrotechnicus Baldon told me that you are 6 months overdue a maintenance sleep.
So you speak for the scullions of Mars now,
boomed Magnaric. You do our brother Techmarine dishonor to speak of him so.
And yet you question my honor.
I speak as your friend, your pupil, your admirer, my lord, said Ralston. Magnaric's collar was becoming increasingly hard to douse, and Ralston had to fight to hide his own ire. Your tomb was never intended to remain active for so long a time. Magnaric's massive power fist came up and pointed threateningly.
You undermine me, Castellan. Do not do so again.
At least speak with Chaplain Eladicus. If you will not hearken to me, listen to him. Magnaric turned awkwardly, the short legs of the dreadnought stamping clangorously on the deck.
When I have Calcator's severed head in my fist, when I have squeezed his treacherous brain into paste, then I shall rest, not before. By the Emperor, no matter what you or the others say, I have sworn my oath, and I will honor it.
The doors opened wide, and Magnaric stamped back onto the bridge. Ralston sighed with dissatisfaction and followed. Zelenic IV had once had a name of its own. Now it was marked upon the stellar charts of the Imperium by system and number alone. Calcator was among the few who remembered what its inhabitants had called it, for he had witnessed its destruction. A landscape of utter desolation slid beneath the keels of the Iron Warriors' Thunderhawks, the Meritara in the lead. They flew over a dry ocean basin, subsumed into the wasteland of dunes that stretched from pole to pole. The seas were long since gone, stripped away by titanic weapons during the war against the false emperor. Calcator remembered it as a pleasant world, civilized and green. The forces of terror had put paid to that. The exposed ocean floor took a step up, marking the position of the ancient coast. The Thunderhawks swung around to the south, following the grim cliffs, footed only by a sea of dust. Savage storms blew up in what remained of the planet's atmosphere, turning the air orange with a perpetual haze. City ruins sprouted from the dunes, emerging suddenly from the blurred sky, the only signs that anything living had ever been there at all. The long rectangles of docking piers extruded far out into the vanished sea, still visible beneath their shrouds of sand.
North here to the landing fields, ordered Calcator. As you command, Warsmith, confirmed the pilot Leurontus.
A spaceport dominated the plain behind the city. Flat, dull grey landing aprons were swept clear by the ceaseless wind. A dry riverbed wound past it towards a range of hills, exposed as the vein of a flayed corpse. Craters marred the ground, distinguishable only by their infill of windblown sand. Further cliffs edged the plain, the product of millions of years of geological processes that had been halted in an instant of fire.
There, to the west! Set us down, said Calcator.
The Meritara's ramp opened into a covering of powder, soft as silk.
The planet's death scream played still as constant gales, and over the last millennium they had worn the debris of the world's destruction to a fine loss. Calcator donned his helmet before venturing outside and bade his men do the same. The air would choke them by itself, but it was one peril among many. The ozone layer of Zelenik 4 had been stripped away, and the surface was bathed in stellar radiation from its parent star. Behind the Meritara, three other gunships squatted in the abiotic dirt of the dead world, engines cycling. The Iron Warriors had been caught too often recently to take any chances. 50 space marines formed up beside the Warsmith, a worryingly large proportion of his much-diminished great company. They waited expectantly as Calcator scanned the cliffs. The world was changed beyond recognition, its past topography a sketch in the dirt of its present. He could not see the entrance to the facility.
"Are you sure it is here, my lord?" asked Cizax. "This place is deader than a tomb. The cache could have been destroyed or looted or buried in a million tons of dirt."
"Silence,"
said Calcator sharply, for he was well aware all that Cizax said was possible.
"You forget yourself."
"Yes, Warsmith,"
muttered the other. Cizax was close to what Calcator might call a friend. Friendship was weakness. Brotherhood was all. Cizax's familiarity had encouraged him to test those boundaries recently. Calcator needed to keep him under control. They were all looking at him. Since Clostra had fallen, the hostility of his great company had grown. Although none yet outright defied him, how many of them could he truly count on should it come to it? Best not to consider that eventuality. Deliver them victory, and they would follow. The iron of their loyalty would not be tested. He finally found the worn aquila carved into the rock face, defaced 15 centuries ago, and further worn away by the ravages of the raging atmosphere. It was not where he had expected to find it. Calcator had lived long enough to know that nothing was constant, not even stone, not even iron.
"This way," he said.
He pointed with his left arm, the bionic. Let them see the iron in him clearly displayed. He marched through the debris of the world, a mix of desiccated biological matter and coarse sand torn from the bedrock, this material not yet aged enough to lose its sharp edges. Zelenik IV's death was still fresh, in planetary terms. The sun came out from behind a flag of dirty yellow cloud, not vapor, but more detritus lofted high into the atmosphere. The star glared on them weakly, a sallow circle of light. Calcator's warsuit informed him of climbing radiation with a series of idle clicks. His men were still watching as he reached for a piece of stone. Remarkable how the craftsmanship had held. The block stayed seated in position, its secret unrevealed. He grasped it with both hands and yanked hard. The stone came free from its place with reluctance. He let it fall into the soft regolith. A lifeless panel lay behind, sticky with ancient oils and caked in microscopic particles. Calcator reached out his arm, an interface dendrite snaking from his vambrace and into the access port. The small screen embedded above the key panel flickered green, then went out. Calcator stood back as a section of the cliff 10 meters broad by 4 high receded with an almighty grinding clunk and began a slow tracking to the right. Behind was a dark hangar, the smooth rockcrete floor and walls kept pristine by the planet's arid air. The door got halfway open before the power failed. Stacked pallets of transit crates, covered in dirty plastic shrouds, receded into the shadows in neat rows. Dust was already snaking in from the outside when Calcator issued his command.
"Empty it. Take everything."
Collistrax pushed his way through another corroded door. Away from the hangar, the complex was in bad shape, exhibiting seismic damage from the world death. He passed down a stretch of corridor whose walls were shivered by cracks, his suit lights picking out ribbons of dust. He paused by a desiccated corpse dressed in the Imperial Army uniform of a regiment 1,000 years forgotten. The bones of the man were still cloaked in skin, but so tight and dried they appeared to have been wrapped for transport in flaking plastic. When he towed the corpse, the head rolled free. He looked at the skull a moment, then stamped it flat.
"Section Lambda 8 clear,"
he voxed.
Nothing to report.
The next door was jammed shut. He kicked it to pieces, his heavy boots powering through the corroded metal. It became loose, and he wrenched it free. An avalanche of dust poured out around his knees. The corridor beyond was wider, an antechamber to a larger hall, perhaps. It was also bathed in light and three quarters full of sand. He raised his bolter and carefully covered the room. The ceiling was cracked from side to side by a wide crevasse that evidently reached the surface, for daylight penetrated all the way into the complex here, and dust whispered down in sheets. The door on the far side was buried in it.
I cannot proceed further. The roof is breached and the corridor blocked with sand. It would take a day or more to dig through. No sign of supplies here.
The vox crackled in response.
Return to hangar, brother.
Confirmed, Sergeant, said Collistrax.
He keyed his vox off. A waste of time going further.
He turned about and headed back the way he had come, deeper into the base. Doors he had opened before in his sweep hung wide. Most rooms were empty. Those that were not held nothing useful to the Iron Warriors. Corpses, paper that fell to pieces when disturbed, dead cogitators. He strode on with purpose, making no attempt to go quietly. There was no one to hear him. Suddenly, he stopped and backed up. He looked down, the lights attached to his suit bathing the floor in wan yellow light. The dust was scuffed by his passage, but there was something else. Another set of footprints overlaid his own. He shut his light off, brought up a thermal overlay on his helm display. The corridor reappeared as a grainy pict of false colour. His own footprints were a dull blue against the near black of the floor. The interlopers were a fading green, more recent.
Sergeant Ostracam?
Collistrax,
I found something.
Report.
There's something in here with us. Footprints. Booted. Large.
The second line of footprints went into a room Collistrax had investigated on the way up. He moved against the wall and leaned in, bolter first.
Nothing here.
He stood back again.
I will...
A ringing blow against his helmet sent him sprawling into the wall. A blackened knife blade skidded off the metal. Collistrax jerked his shoulder back, meeting a solid body that barely gave. He swung around, but a meaty hand grabbed his pauldron and hurled him against the opposite wall. A huge orc stood over him, a pair of primitive light intensification goggles strapped over its eyes. With calm efficiency, Collistrax brought his bolter up to blow out its heart and lungs, but his assailant grabbed it and ripped it out of his hand with amazing strength, stamping Collistrax into the ground as he sought to rise.
Orcs! There are orcs in the complex! There are...
The orc drove down with its knife, a piece of metal as long as a man's torso and thick as three fingers. For all its unwieldiness, the orc used it deftly, and the ridiculous breadth of it was ground down on one side to a wicked edge. The point caught in the seal where his helmet joined his breastplate and was driven through it by brute strength into the space behind Collistrax's collarbone. The orc threw itself forward with its full weight, pushing the sword-length knife in with both hands so that it pierced both the Iron Warrior's hearts. For Collistrax, the long war was over. Sergeant Ostracam saluted Calcator.
My Lord Calcator, Brother Collistrax is slain by orcs. The complex is compromised.
Calcator regarded the emptying hangar. They had recovered perhaps half of the supplies, armor, spares, bolt rounds, weapons. Most of it was sealed in oil-filled containers and perfectly serviceable. Calcator tallied what they had recovered mentally, deciding if they could afford to leave the remaining supplies.
Any word from the Palamedes? He called to his master vox operator. What news from orbit?
I cannot raise the ship, my lord.
Why would this be easy? One cruiser lost, two outposts, half his great company. Calcator's week had been disastrous.
Cesax, take half the company. Secure the hangar rear. Geduo, take four squads outside. Shift the landing site 10 kilometers out, somewhere clear where we can't be ambushed. Meritara will ferry the supplies. Let the others take them to orbit. Unloading and reloading will take extra time, but we cannot risk the gunships, and a few more crates of supplies is better than none. As soon as you raise him, have Atanax send down more servitors and brothers to speed the extraction, both here and at Site Beta. Ostracam, what indications of numbers?
None, my lord.
None of the other scouts report anything. It will not be alone.
They never are, said Calcator. We have no indication of an infestation of the planet. It may be a scouting group. Send my order to Atanax. Intensify scans of the surrounding void. If there's a ship out there, we must find it. In the meantime, redouble our efforts. I want every scrap of usable materiel stripped from this depot and aboard the Palamedes before they find us. Too late, my lord. I have Atanax. Patch his vox feed through to me.
Yes, my lord.
Atanax's voice came through crisply, boosted by the nuncio vox of Calcator's master operator over the angry grumble of the planet's tortured magnetosphere.
15 contacts emerging from the shadow of the third moon, my lord. They have seen us.
No more?
No, Warsmith. It appears to be a scouting group, orc pirate scum, looking for easy kills or planets to plunder. They are weak and will not be on our position for 2 hours, give or take.
Gunfire sounded from deep in the complex. Reports of orc engagements on three fronts came in on a sudden wave of vox noise.
We will not abandon the supplies. Atanax, keep the planet between you and the orcs. Begin evacuation immediately. Everyone else, to the rear of the hall.
Calcator unclipped his pistol and unsheathed his sword. His servo arm unfurled as he strode past the serfs, sweating in their rebreathers as they dragged out supply pallets on pneumatic jacks.
I tired of running from these creatures.